The solemnity of Corpus Christi proclaims the absolute definitive truth that the incarnate Son of God, having ascended to his Father's right hand in heaven, remains present and active with us until the end of the age, as Jesus says. The truth of Christ's substantial presence in the Holy Eucharist involves two related but not exactly identical doctrines, those of transubstantiation and the real presence of Christ. Survey data tells us sadly that even many Catholics don't believe in or even understand these doctrines. In his sermons on the solemnity of Corpus Christi, Father Ronald Knox, who was a great preacher and apologist in England in the late 1800s and up to the mid-1900s, sheds a great deal of light on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist in his writings, in his preaching, and so on. And he follows on, if you will, the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, as well as the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in what both Aquinas and Father Knox and the Catechism call the sacrament of sacraments. Knox's teaching is that of the Church's tradition. Knox and Aquinas and all of those who teach the Church's teachings definitively teach in the trajectory or the line of the Church's magisterium and its tradition, especially in this case as expressed by the Council of Trent right after the Reformation, and also theologically again by St. Thomas Aquinas. Knox, as I said, is one of the great preachers and apologists of the English Catholic world, particularly in the first half or so of the 20th century, and he wrote very often on the real presence. So a starting point in Knox's understanding of the real presence has to do with its distinction, Christ's presence, its distinction, his distinction of his presence in other ways. So it is a definitive presence in lots of ways, but it is particular in his physical presence. You know, we know that God is present everywhere always. He's spirit, and so he's everywhere. But God created us as sensory beings, right? Our five senses. And he gives us himself in a particular way that appeals to and is approachable to our senses, because that's how he created us. Father Knox says this, because he knows how much we all depend on our ordinary way of thinking, he has not been content with all the ordinary gifts which he bestows on us. No, he has left us the Eucharist, in which Christ is present in a manner different from that in which he is present everywhere. The Eucharist, Father Knox says, allows us to say concretely and directly, here is God, or this is God. For Father Knox, the whole sacramental life of the Church is a continuation of the incarnate Christ's presence and his activity in the world. And the Eucharist, he says, is an even more startling way of Christ's condescension as the second person of the Trinity than even the Incarnation itself. I mean, it was one thing for the second person of the Trinity, God himself, to condescend to become human, right? Some writers have said that would be like you and I agreeing to become like an earthworm or something. The distinction between us and God is that vast. But he goes on to say that even greater than the mystery of the Incarnation is the level to which the second person of the Trinity condescended to become even lower than human, to become what are the accidents of the host, bread and wine as well. Do you believe that Christ is here today? Most of us would say yes, right? Do you believe that he is right here in the tabernacle? Most of us would probably say yes, although maybe there starts to be a little more hesitation. After all, the data shows that not even 30% believe that Jesus is really, truly present in Holy Communion, in the Eucharist. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. So yes, of course, God is with us always in that way. But do you believe that he's really and truly and substantially present right here, right now, in the tabernacle? Do you believe that in the Eucharistic prayer prayed by the priest in persona Christi, and the words of consecration in particular at the altar, that Jesus actually and really becomes present physically on this altar? Listen to the words of Christ in today's gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark. And as they were eating, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a chalice, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Sound familiar? It should. Those are the words of consecration, more or less, that a priest says in every single Mass, whether it's the simplest little daily Mass with just a couple of people present, or whether it's Easter Vigil, or whether it's the Solemnity of Corpus Christi. Those words are the same everywhere and always throughout the world, because those are the words of Christ, and those are the words that affect the consecration, that affect the transubstantiation, which is the translation of one thing into another, and then the real presence of Christ being here. With these words, the priest, through the power of the ordination of his priesthood, literally brings Christ down from heaven to the altar at the Mass. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." At that, many of his disciples left him, saying, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus asks his apostles, "Will you leave me too?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, Jesus often explained his words, and especially in his parables, right, which were very symbolic. And especially he explained his words to the apostles, not this time. He does not say, "Well, let me now help you understand what I'm doing." Or, no, don't leave, don't worry. I wasn't speaking literally, I was just speaking figuratively. No. He let them walk away. And all he does is he turns around to his apostles and he says, "You're going to leave me too?" And of course they say no. But sadly, lots and lots of people do leave for lots of reasons, one of which is they just can't accept the reality that this is God Almighty present among us. And, oh, by the way, therefore God has expectations of us. Jesus is here in the tabernacle, and soon he will be here in the consecrated host, which we will consume, hopefully worthily, into our very bodies. Yesterday, a number of us walked in procession with our Lord, our Eucharistic Lord, and we brought him into the public square to proclaim boldly that we believe he, the true God and the true man, is here. My brothers and sisters, we need him so much. And though we can pray to Jesus anytime, anywhere, we are actually in need of his physical presence. Remember, we're tactile, we're sensory beings. And so we need this contact with he who is the creator of the universe, he who is the mediator between his Father and us. We need our Savior, and we need him in the Eucharist. Here on earth, no one, you know, we can talk all day long about a personal relationship with Jesus, and we should have one, but there's no more personal relationship than having Jesus physically within us. having received Holy Communion. So just a couple of maybe quick practical reminders, if I may. And this is more for the people that are maybe newly back to Mass, but it's a good reminder for everybody. So those of you that wish to receive communion in the hand, that's fine, it's allowed, but please do so this way, flat hand, no other way. Don't cup your hands, don't separate them, and it's very simple, just like this, because it allows us the most secure, easy way to place the host. So flat hand. If you receive on the tongue, please, my good people, all you have to do is stick your tongue out. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Stick your tongue out and hold still. Don't come for the host. Don't, you know, that kind of thing. Just put your tongue out and hold still. I promise you we will give you communion securely. And speaking of the reality of the real presence of our Lord and taking that reality seriously, this also demands that we come to Mass and we worship our God reverently and worthily. And of course, the first way that we do that is to be in a state of grace, is to make sure that our interior lives are washed clean by that sacrament of God's mercy. And so, my brothers and sisters, always be sure, if you have any mortal sin on your soul, please come to the confessional. We have lots of opportunities. Father Restio and I love that part of our ministry. And so come to confession. We have them 30 minutes before every daily Mass. We have them for an hour before Saturday Mass, and of course anytime by appointment. But we also show our reverence and our love for God and our belief in His real presence by our exterior acts. So, for example, and I don't see many people doing this here, but sometimes you see people being sort of flippant. You'll come forward and just sort of halfway genuflect. Now, if you got bad knees like I do, you might not be able to get down and genuflect. That's fine. But I'm talking about able-bodied people. Sometimes we just kind of do this and we do the little wave, you know. Stop. Genuflect, you know, and do it understanding that our Lord is here. Another manifestation of our external belief or manifestation of our belief is in how we dress. Classic part of the homily, every spring, every early summer, and I'm going to give it to you again, I'm sorry, but I have to. This is not the gym, it's not the golf course, it's not the backyard barbecue, it is worship. It is worshiping God Almighty. And so at minimum, we should dress in a way that shows dignity, that we believe what we believe. And at worst, we've got to avoid dressing in ways that offend our Lord. So guys, for example, you know, flip-flops, and I understand that shorts are shorts in summer and all that, but be careful that you dress in a business casual way. That's the best model I can think of. Anybody who knows anything about business casual, that's perfectly good balance in how we dress. Women, I'm sorry, but short shorts, very short skirts, tattered jeans, leggings, those are not worthy of our Lord. Please do consider dressing again in a more business casual way. Now, am I saying that we should be in tuxedos and evening gowns and burkas? Of course not. Of course not. But nor should we dress such that you can't really tell that we're doing anything different than anything else in our secular lives. Lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of prayer is the law of belief. How we pray says what we believe. If we pray in a way that's extremely casual and we just sort of go through the motions, that says something about what we believe. Now, once in a while, I'll hear somebody say, well, but Father, Jesus just is really happy I'm here. If that's your sincere attitude, like, God, you are so grateful, I'm sure, that I am deigning you with my presence, and therefore I'm going to act and do and dress however I want, careful about that, okay? We exteriorly communicate what we believe, and so that happens. But first and foremost, again, our interiority, our way that we approach our Lord worthily is what's important. The solemnity of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi, which we are celebrating today, my brothers and sisters, and the Eucharistic procession that we participated in yesterday, proclaim boldly and publicly the truth of God's presence among us. And not just today, but in every single Mass all throughout the world, we too meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no more personal relationship, as I said, than meeting in person the Creator of the universe. For behold, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age.